The New Testament lesson is, or the gospel lesson is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. In these verses, John offers us the various ways that the disciples reacted to the fact of the risen Lord. Peter and the other disciples saw the burial wrappings cast aside. Peter didn't understand, while the other disciple, sometimes identified as the beloved young John, saw and believed. Mary Magdalene saw the stone rolled away and the empty tomb, and she wept, for she didn't know where the body was, until Jesus spoke to her, called her by name, and she recognized his voice. Until Jesus spoke to her by name. Until Jesus spoke to her by name and she recognized his voice. Thomas the twin refused to believe until he saw and touched the marks of the nails. And the chapter ends with these are so written that you may believe and have life in his name. The gospel lesson may be found on page 989 in the Pew Bible. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in his house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, he is risen. It is good for us to remember, to be reminded that every Sunday morning is Easter for us, that every day is a new day in which we have the opportunity to worship and serve the Lord. For he is not dead, but he has risen and gone on ahead of us. And so it is Easter morning in the Eastern Christian traditions. We have heard the message that God is light. So the one writer of 1 John says, but I wonder, have we taken that message into our hearts deeply enough that we can communicate it to those who need to hear it? So Sometimes all that we need to do to enable us to speak these words is to hear the story in a different way, to look at it with different eyes, and really, really understand it in our hearts, in our minds. Flora Bowley, a self-described intuitive painter, wrote an article about thinking and observing in new ways, which was interesting to me. Her philosophy of creativity is not limited to the artistic process. It can be applied to all of life, I think. Ms. Bowley summarized her method in three phrases: let go, be bold, unfold. Let me give you an example about letting go from my own faith story. For the last 10 years ago or so, even beginning while I was in seminary, I have not been able to fully participate in Advent, firstly because of the commercial aspect, though I understand that many businesses rely on before Christmas sales to determine whether they will have a good year or not. And secondly, I remember that Easter is soon to come. I do love to sing the hymns and carols and to hear the old, old story retold once again. But all I was able to think of is that it is only because of the events of Holy Week that Christmas has any meaning at all for us. This year there was a change, and I have come to understand the birth story in a new way. As an exciting event for Mary and Joseph, for the Magi, for the possibilities of hope and new life for all of us that reside within that text. You see, I have heard the story since my childhood, studied the political situation of the times, wondered about the man who saw the star in the east and traveled a long way toward it, mourned with the mothers whose children were killed by Herod's soldiers, and finally heard the story from someone who was sincerely excited to tell us about it. What a change it made for me to hear the enthusiasm in my pastor's voice, to see the smile on his face, to take in that I had been missing the joy of Christmas, the miracle of God being born as a human boy child, because I was stuck on the events of Easter yet to come. A creative and loving approach was able to open my heart, and I was able to let go of an idea that held me captive, an idea which prevented me from fully experiencing the wonder of a fearful Mary accepting Gabriel's words, the wonder of a prophecy fulfilled, the wonder of angels singing to shepherds in the fields, glory to God in the highest, and peace to those God favors. As Paul would say, I was transformed by the renewing of my mind. Now we need to be bold. Well, what is bolder to the world than believing that a man who died a disgraceful death on the cross was able and willing and happy to offer his disciples breakfast on a beach a few days later, or who appeared as a living, warm, breathing human being to his fearful disciples, and that many millions more people who have not yet seen, yet believe, even today. If we consider Easter as our creation story, our creative story, our story of thinking in new ways, we can take to heart these words which Paul spoke to the Galatians in chapter 2. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I imagine that if I were to take a poll of you today and ask you questions about your creative abilities, some of you would recoil in horror and say, I cannot draw a straight line even with a ruler. Or that teacher I remember in junior high was so discouraging. But as far as I know, there are just a few artistic endeavors that require straight lines. For creativity isn't limited to producing a product, a painting, a sculpture. Think of planning and planting your flower and vegetable gardens. Gardens that are pleasing to the eye as well as productive. Or the glow of the old wood of a piece of furniture after layers of paint have been removed. And simply the everyday problem solving that we need to do. God calls us to be bold, even when we are fearful, to think outside the box, when we are so much more in control and comfortable and safe within that box's walls. Courage is knowing that though troubles may lie ahead of us, Jesus promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. We are bold to be hopeful that troubles and wars will cease and peace will cover the earth. And finally, we are to unfold. Have you ever heard corn growing? I haven't, but I've heard the fronds of a small palm tree in my apartment unfurl. It is startling to hear because it sounds like something is being ripped apart. But there is no tear, no oozing of plant juices, only the fresh, young, green fronds unfurling to meet the sunlight. For us to unfold, we must let go of our negative judgments, be patient with ourselves as well as patient with others. Trust that we are participating in God's plan for us and for the world. Miss Boley comments that what is working in her painting may be just one square inch, a place where two colors blend together in an interesting way. This is a beginning point, a starting point, a door opening for the creative process within to unfold with newness. Do you remember those paint-by-number kits? That canvas with a multitude of small, numbered spaces, the tiny pots of paint, and the brush that seemed much too large? Well, I do, and I remember the mess I made, painting across the lines, spilling those itsy paint containers, and seeing no way, or maybe having no patience to correct the errors. And today, one can purchase those completed canvases on eBay for at least 10 times the cost of the original supplies. And if you're willing to try your hand at the process yourself, simply inquire for a kit at your local craft store. Well, the promise of paint-by-number kits was that you would have a masterpiece upon its completion. That's like what we start out hoping our lives will be like. Masterpieces. All in order, no mistakes, or at least errors with few consequences. And then we live longer and find that life can become easily very messy, even when we do our best, follow the rules, do what is expected of us. In the messiness of life, let us pay close attention to what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. And so we are chosen. We can believe we have been redeemed. We can accept the forgiveness lavished upon us, like the precious oil and dew of Mount Hermon, for the Lord has ordained that we should have life evermore. Our response must be to let go of whatever holds us captive, to be bold as we share our heartfelt knowledge of that God loves us. God loves us without reservation, and to unfold in trust and hope and to serve God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.